Welcome to the Best of the Run Home with Joel and Fletch. As we like to kick off our week, we dive straight into the A-grades. And by the way, if you run across any A-grades over the weekend, so you don't forget, hit us up straight away on social at Joel Fletch SEN, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. We've got you covered there. Now, this guy is not an A-grade.
No, definitely not.
Who is that?
Drewy Mitchell. And we just reviewed the Super Rugby. And we also had a chat to him about is Australian teams walking away from the New Zealand competition.
The Monday A-Grades with Joel and Fletch.
Rightio, boys, what have you got? You got any A-Grades for me?
Got a lot of phrases. Yeah. I'll get to them. Mm. My A-Grade is, seriously, paper straws.
Agree.
Like, come up with, I understand, too many plastic straws. Yep. Dolphins eating them, brown turtles. Bread. Turtles, ta-da. But come up with something so they don't wilt under pressure when you're drinking. The whole idea is a straw is going in liquid.
Mm.
Come up with something better.
Paper and water or precipitation or
doesn't
any
mix.
Kind. It doesn't mix.
But surely, like, I know it's all well and good and we've got to save the environment, but holy hell.
Yep.
You stick it in a chocolate thick shake and it's just like
you stick it,
sucking.
Dream it.
You can't suck
it
out.
It. Yeah, I know. I totally agree with that. Brooks, man, what's got under your goat?
I've gone from yesterday, driving home from doing crunch time here last night. You know, vivid. You know, it's great with all the lights and whatnot. Just people stopping, like, to look at everything.
Mm.
It's on the bridge?
On the Timmy Cahill Expressway.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're just slowing down and having a look. It was actually wasn't last night. It was early last week.
Mm.
But it's just crazy that, you know, people are just slowing down to, like, 40 k's an hour to have a look at stuff.
We call that rubbernecking.
Rubberneckers.
Mm.
Yeah, they're my A grades.
Mm. Gibbo, anything for you?
Yeah, I'd probably put my hand up and say I myself is a bit of an A grade. I met this girl on the bus a couple of weeks ago and she was started chatting. She was over from Germany. She just got here like a couple of weeks ago and she said, oh, I'm keen to try surfing. I said, oh, okay, yeah, sweet as. Like, let me know. Here's my number. And then 2 or 3 weeks went by. She messaged me last week saying, oh, let's go for a surf. And she'd never surfed before, and I was just watching her. She was getting absolutely flogged, and I was just thinking, oh, how is she having a good time here?
Mm.
Not having a good time, and it just went so south real quickly.
Oh, no. So that's it?
Well, I don't think it's it, but probably from my end, it's a little it. But, yeah, so it was super awkward.
So she didn't say Dankeschön?
She didn't say Dankeschön. Well,
freaking fracking on her.
It was awkward from the start because when I first rocked up, she said, oh, you don't look very excited.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, well, I'm not.
Tell me this, Skivo, and I'm not fully across this story, but Mark says on the text, A-grader is Jordan DeGoey.
So he plays for the Collingwood Magpies, and they had a bye week.
Yeah, and he went to Bali.
Trot off to Bali. Then there was some footage floating around of him getting up to a bit of mischief.
Was it about the revealing of the girls? Was that the major issue?
I think so. I think as well, like, it's during the season, and Jordan DeGoey, he's no stranger to a bit of off-field drama.
Yep.
So I think the optics didn't look very good, but you know those Melbourne folks, they were getting into him pretty heavily, like old legends and people on SEN. So, look, I think it's just more so he's just been in trouble quite a bit, and it's probably not a good look for the fans to see him over partying in Bali, but, I mean, who wouldn't want to do that?
But doesn't he just, like, he's got a fair bit of money.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I shouldn't say that. But he's going okay. They said he's on about an $800,000 contract. He played up in New York. Why the hell would you go to Bali and just stay in Melbourne? If you want to have a drink and play up, get a hotel room, get your friends, and no one with any phones.
But if he's
was he the one posting, or was it people posting of him?
I don't think he posted it. I think it was just in the background on some other people's videos.
Gotcha. But they were filming him.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They were filming him,
and
the girl came out and said, yeah, it's all sweet, I know him. But it just don't put yourself in that
position. But who posted the picture of her, how you going, popping out?
Not too sure. I think it was just
her friends, wasn't it?
Was it her friends? Let's head out to Quakers Hill, and Link is there. G'day, Link.
Hey, guys, how you going?
Good, Link. What do you know, mate?
My A grader for the week is we went to the footy on Saturday night, Roosters versus the Eels with members.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm a Manly fan, it's cheaper for me to go with a member than just to go with a family. So we've got two kids, one and 16 months and 5-year-old. We sit away from everyone. There's no one near us. I go down and get some feed the kids. Come back, there's 6 or 7 19 to 25-year-olds sitting right behind us, dead set, and there's rows and rows and rows behind us. So people who sit right behind you at the footy when there's 4,000 other seats next year. So it's like going to the toilet or the urinal. Mm. You got 5 free urinals, and then someone comes up next to you and then stands next to you. So it's
Link,
annoying.
Link, I'm hearing you. I'm hearing you. That happened to me at the airport.
Nothing worse.
10. I counted 10.
Yeah.
Free urinals.
And he went right next to you. Was it closer to the door, though?
Right next to you.
Yeah. And he wasn't peering or anything, because I made sure I peered.
But if you were already in there, Brian, it was closer to the door, sometimes I was in a hurry, I'd just go next to you.
Mate, you could just go next. Just leave a space.
Just leave one space.
Leave one space.
Okay.
Leave one space. Otherwise, I reckon if in the urinal, you're allowed to release countermeasures.
Yeah. I agree. I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, well, you know what you mean.
A bit of gas and away you go. Yeah.
Link, were you happy? What do you think? Is it one row or two rows you would have been happy with? Space in between the kids.
The times that we live in, one row would have been suffice. But, two with their swearing and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two, you think with kids around, you think, I don't mind swearing at the footy. They're not swearing at you, they're swearing around you, that's fine. But, at least a row, you think, in COVID times. And just, why would you want to sit near your kids anyway?
Mm.
Yeah.
What supporters?
You know what I mean? I love my kids, but,
who are they supporting?
Well,
I love my kids, but.
I think they were the Feather Duster fans.
So. Oh, really?
They were nice and polite, and, they interacted with the kids, but it was like, why the space?
Yeah.
Like, dude, give me some space. I'm not a tiny man by any stretch of the imagination.
No stretch.
Mark Tukey.
What are we talking? 136 clicks?
Yeah, $1.20, I reckon.
Higher.
140?
Yeah, pretty much that.
Oh, beautiful.
Give the man some space, ladies and gentlemen.
I just want to grab you, Link. I just want to just hug you around the midriff.
Hey, Link, we've got to go, mate. We appreciate you. It's a great insight.
Worries.
People do it on the beach, too. There's a whole beach there, and they go and put a towel right next to Andy McDowell.
Next to you. Yeah, nothing worse.
Nothing worse. Exactly right. Our man, Drewy Mitchell, it's all done. Super Rugby, it goes the way of the Crusaders.
Yeah, all wrapped up. And we spoke about it last week. Just the final pedigree of the Crusaders is proving to be too much. Just know how to get it done in the big games.
What's the coach's name, Drewy? He loves that little...
Scotty Robertson.
Yeah, that's his go, isn't it?
Yeah, they've just got a really good... they seem to have like a really good system over there. And whenever there's an injury, someone comes in, knows their role, isn't expected to do anything more than that, and they just keep, breeding a pretty strong production line over there in Christchurch. And just on Scott Robertson, he's been doing it since he was an under-20s coach over in New Zealand, and any time his team wins a title or a tournament, he gets in and does some breakdancing, which we saw again on the weekend. And I don't know, I just think it sort of speaks a little bit more than just someone, coached to get into the circle and having a dance, because you just see how much encouragement the players are giving him to kind of do that, to celebrate their coach as much as they are about just celebrating the win. Because, sometimes as players, we always carry on about it being a player's game, but I just think it was sort of like a good little exhibition of the culture that they have there to get him in there and to want him to celebrate it the way he does as well.
Who was the best, mate? Who do you think was the best for the Crusaders?
Hard to go past Richard Mwanga at 10 and also Sam Whitelock. I just thought defensively in the line-out, the Crusaders just picked the Auckland line-out apart. I think Auckland, or the Blues, they lost 7 or 8 of their own line-out throws in set-piece time. So once, when you're giving that much ball to the Crusaders in a final, and then off the back of that, subsequently losing the territory and possession battle, it's just all too hard for them. And Mwanga put them in the right areas of the field. Like I said, Whitelock decoded the line-out calls, and I even heard some quotes from some of the Blues players and their coach, Leo McDonald. So it was almost as though he had their playbook, because he just got it right that often out there. So, pretty strong from those two. But across the board, I think the Crusaders just had their measure. Probably a guy that you guys are pretty keen on is Roger Tuivasa-Sheck getting replaced after 44 minutes. He was well and truly outshined by David Havili, the opposing number 12. And I think a couple of those performances on the weekend probably go a long way to determining who gets the starting roles for the All Blacks.
Oh, was he that bad? True. Roger...
I mean, I don't know if he was necessarily that bad because of those reasons. They didn't get a huge amount of ball. They weren't in the right areas either. But it kind of just... it just showed that the Blues are good on the front foot going forward. It didn't have too many answers outside of that to come up with another way to create something. And I think it was probably harsh on Roger to come off after 44 minutes, but I think they were just searching for something. But I think Havili's got a strong kicking game. He's got, you know, he's just got a few more elements and layers to his game, and I think he'll get the nod over Roger in at least the first game.
What's your views on Australia or Rugby Australia flirting with the idea of pulling away from the Kiwis?
Yeah, look, I'm not too sure exactly of some of the finer details around it, but from my basic level of understanding is I don't like it. I just think that I understand that we're not getting a fair slice of the broadcast deal. I think it's around sort of 90-odd mil to New Zealand, and we get 25 or something for the broadcast deal. So those numbers are probably, you know, you could argue are heavily outweighed in the New Zealand's favour. And I implore anyone working for Rugby Australia to try and get a bigger slice of that. But I don't know if this is necessarily the right approach. I think they're talking about the success that Super Rugby AU had during the COVID period. But I think we've also got to appreciate that that success was largely because it was the only rugby we could actually participate in and also engage in at the time. So, you know, I think everyone, and players included, have enjoyed playing against the Kiwis and testing ourselves against them. And I think since doing so, we've seen a marked improvement in our performances across the board for our Australian team. So, I don't know, I don't like the idea of just an Australian provincial competition. I don't think we have the depth for it. I don't think it's going to engage sponsors, broadcast deals. You know, if it's just the five Super Rugby teams that we've got now, I don't know how anyone's going to be too excited about playing, you know, the same team four times a year or something like that to try and make it a worthy length of competition. And then we've tried NRC, the National Rugby Championship, a number of times, and people just weren't really engaging in that either. So, yeah, I think it's definitely one that we have to be careful, I think, moving forward, just how carefully we tread with, you know, with throwing this out. Because I think a lot of it's come also just quickly on last year going to this Super Rugby Pacific. I think the Kiwis really only wanted two Australian teams in it. And that put a few noses out of joint and strained the relationship between Australia and New Zealand. So, that's unfortunately, we'd like to just get everyone in a room and just get on the same page, because I think, you know, in this part of the world, we need each other.
Welcome back to the Best of the Run Home with Joel and Fletch. Now, Fletch had been waxing lyrically ad nauseum about the podcast called The Glitch. Now, the star of The Glitch, if you want to call him the star of The Glitch, is Dan Saunders, just a very affable, likeable kind of guy. Fascinating story. It's a remarkable story, and well done on you, Brian, on getting him.
Yeah, it was great, and it was. And I was thinking, is he going to come across as good in the podcast? Because, you know, they edit it, and yep, this was live, but it was actually even better than the podcast. So take a listen, our man, Colonel Saunders.
Dan Saunders is on the line, the ATM boy, the man from The Glitch. He's there. Come in, Dan.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Going good, Dan. First of all, where are we speaking to you today from?
Gee, I tell you what, you've built it up. I hope I can come up to expectations. I feel like Greg Norman walking down the 18th at the moment. I've got jelly legs. I'm in Byron Bay, hinterland at the moment.
Oh, okay. I thought you might have been in Wangaratta, because that's where it all kicked off, didn't it?
No. I've moved on from the northwest Victoria and, up in northern New South Wales now. So
take us back to that night. So you go into an ATM machine just trying to get your own money out, and then what happened?
Yeah, well, basically, I was a little tipsy. We were shouting rounds in the bar, and it came time for my shout, and there was no cash in the wallet. So I thought, I'll go around to the ATM, which was just around the corner, not too far. Wangaratta, everything's not too far. So, slid the card in and tried to get a balance on my credit card. But, that wouldn't give me a balance. So I just tried to transfer some money between my credit card and my savings account. And it said transaction cancelled and spat the card back out. And I thought, that's pretty odd. That's pretty weird. So I put the card back in and then tried to get the money out as if the transfer had worked. And so I got the $200 out that I transferred and just sort of went back to the bar, and it was a bit odd, but didn't really think much more about it until I was sort of passing on the way home from the bar, a little more tipsy, and sort of just started pressing buttons and realized I could transfer whatever money I wanted to, up to six digits, which was $999,000 at a time. And then that money would stay in the account
for 24 hours before it would reverse. But the thing was, is that I didn't get money out of an ATM, then I could actually go into the bank. So I could do two transfers of 900,000, say, and then I'd have $1.8 million in the bank, and I'd literally walk into any National Australia Bank Australia-wide, and the teller would think that I had that money in my account, so I could draw on that. So it wasn't anything for me to just sort of turn up and say, oh, I'd like $100,000. And if they look up the account, there's 1.8 in there, they just gladly sort of hand it to you. It takes a little while to count up. But other than that, like, you didn't really have, yeah, many issues. So it was, yeah, I mean, it was the wrong thing to do, but it was almost like something, yeah, like a higher power or something was in charge of it. And, I lost my compass a little bit. But it turns out, speaking to people afterwards, a lot of people probably would in that situation. So,
hey, Dan, do you reckon it was limited to your card, or do you think it may have been, there might have been a number of people who could have also found themselves in your scenario at the time?
Yeah, well, I mean, the bank, they really don't want to talk about it. And that sort of says to me that maybe it was a software glitch within the whole ATM network. Because, yeah, I mean, I could literally create money out of thin air using my own card and a couple of strokes on the keypad on the ATM. So, yeah, it was a pretty massive vulnerability.
What was the most money you spent in 24 hours?
Oh, geez, 24 hours, probably about 100,000 in one day.
Yeah. Give us the itemised spending on that day, Dan.
Yeah, sure. Well, that was sort of, that was a private island. So basically, long story short, we started getting limos, and then we started getting like helicopter flights from the airport because that was quicker. And then we got talking to this guy who was, the chopper pilot, and he said, I know a guy with a plane who can fly you to this resort. And we're like, oh, yeah, that's great. You know, how much will that cost? And he's like, 80 grand. I'm like, well, yeah, well, that's great. Let's, get a few people together and go over. And, so we sort of, yeah, that was sort of paying for that. And then, there was, spending money on the, grog for the plane and that kind of thing. And, yeah, I think it was about 100K that day.
The podcast is the glitch. It's an absolute cracker. And, Dan, you absolutely make it. But just before we get off the NAB situation and the work party, you're taking money out of the NAB ATM, which is costing you nothing every single night. What was the NAB motto at the time, the company motto?
Yeah, it was more give, less take.
I was certain doing that.
I think they took it. I think they took that to the extreme, and now it's more than money. So I suppose if there was a glitch now, it'd probably be, it's more than the money. Absolutely.
So Dan, who's the first person you spoke to when you said, "Listen, I've got this thing, this magical card"? Who was the first person you said, "We're on here"?
Yeah, a mate of mine. I mean, I was working in a bar, and I was always, it wasn't that I wasn't smart, but I just wasn't, I don't know, I wasn't driven. I didn't know what my life's purpose was. So I was just sort of, doing, odd jobs here and there. And, I was friends with a lot of, went to school with a lot of people who were, professionals. And, I sort of had a chat to one of my mates, and he was like, look, you've just, I don't know what you've discovered here, but this is, unbelievable. And I just thought it was good for a few beers at the start. But he's like, look, you could literally take millions of dollars and they wouldn't have a clue here. And you could go over, he was telling me the plan. You go to casinos in Spain because they don't have the same sort of checks, and you just basically transfer the money into the casino account. Then you just turn up there like you're a high roller, but then you can draw in the cash and then they can pay for your accommodation and stuff. Like, you had this whole plan for me all set out. And I was, most people, people do say to me, why didn't you just go? You're a wimp. You should have just gone. But, I mean, no amount of money to me was like, it was good. It would have broken my family's heart, to never see me again. And they're the type of people, they're super honest. So they would have, if I got in contact with them, they would have dobbed on me. They wouldn't have dobbed on me, but they would have, sort of gone, no, you've got to sort it out. Like, it'll be for the greater good type thing. So, yeah, I don't know. I wasn't looking for an infinite money glitch. It just sort of came across, and that's just what I did with it. And
if anyone, people are full of advice, but my advice to them is just, you know, the glitches are out there. Get amongst it. get there between, you know, midnight and 1 a.m. and you never know what can happen, you know. Keep the dream alive. That's what I say.
What about the gentleman when you were at the Gold Coast and the old fella who came up and he said, oh, I need to know, because you blokes were all up and about because you had a few winners and he wanted a tip and you went, well, here, I'll do something better. I'll throw 1,000 on this.
Number 11.
Was it number 11?
Yeah,
number 11, yeah.
And
I still remember it like it was yesterday. As soon as you said that, I was sitting in the third tier of the Gold Coast Turf Club. I had a bottle of Dom Perignon, and I was sipping the Dom Perignon. And the
11, please say, Dan, out just, of the bottle. Please say you're drinking out of the bottle.
No, I wasn't. basically, I can see the horse in front of me, and it's like it's possessed, this horse.
Yeah.
It's kicked off the turn, and just it's paying about $11. Number 11, $11, $1,000 on.
Oh, yes.
And it's kicked clear by about 3 lengths. It's just like... It's Murphy's Law. When you've got nothing in the world, nothing happens like that. But it was just, there was someone pulling the strings. It seemed, you know what I mean?
Hey, Dan, you're
but,
very...
Yeah, this old bloke...
Sorry, go on.
This old bloke was so happy. He was just like, I'm on the pension. This is the best thing ever.
That's so good.
But, you know, I didn't care. It wasn't my money. And, you know, the horse just won. So, you know, he took whatever. I think he gave me the money for the bet back or something. And I said, don't worry about it. It's all good. But it was just, pandemonium, just stuff like that all the time.
Welcome back to the Best of the Run Home with Joel and Fletch. And this fellow here, we have these characters who our listeners absolutely love. You, the listener, love these people. And Stu Laundy is a knockabout, the pub baron. We caught up with him. And, of course, Wacky Team Wednesday, Brian. What was your topic this week?
Well, it was celebrity doctors or TV doctors, and we had a lot of nominations. And, of course, when it's Wednesday and it's wacky, who's going to call?
Hector.
Hector from Bomaderry, and this was probably top three.
Yeah.
Hector calls. Take a listen.
And I'm pleased to say who, when he comes on the program, Brian, the board lights up, says keeper, which means they want to hear more from him, and the great Stu Laundy is on the line. G'day, Stu.
Hello, boys.
Hello, Stuart.
Mate, since you have taken over the attack at the Bulldogs, you're absolutely flying, aren't you?
Mate, we are, but I'm ready to jump shit to the Tigers, I think.
You must be a glutton.
I'm trying to get Dad. I'm telling him, well, I want to be a sponsorship. I want to move around now.
Yeah.
Benny Elias wants us at the Tigers, and I'm thinking maybe it's time to jump just as we start winning. How good are they going, though, aren't they?
They are. So tell us a bit about, have you met Mick Potter, Stu?
I met Mick Potter years ago when he played for the Bulldogs. So they all used to drink at the Twin Willows, Dad's main pub.
Yep.
I haven't seen him for a long time. I don't know much about the inner workings. Obviously, I'm a Roosters man, as we continue to talk about. But
yeah.
I think he's given them license to roam. I've watched both games in the last 2 weeks and loved it.
It is. It's quite remarkable about... But surely, Baz would have said to him, you got to try something different. I don't just purely think it's Mick Potter saying, righto, you can just do what you want. Because it just seems to be a happier joint for some reason.
I agree. I'm not writing off Baz. He's one of our best mates. We love him. Mm. But, mate, something's clicked. By God, they've been great to watch. Fun to watch.
Yeah. Now, Stu, what if... I know you're doing this track. We're going to get into this because you're a terrific man with your time and your effort and... Now, tell me this: what, you got another pub on the horizon? Can you let us in on a bit of a secret?
What we can tell you, do you remember Jelly Bean Jam?
One Hit Wonders. I used to love down the Cloverleaf Hotel on a Sunday.
We have reopened the Woolley Bay Hotel right on the door of the restaurants down there. I've had a few feeds there with you, Brian.
Yes, we have.
That pub's been reopened. There's a rooftop level. It's fantastic. And we are going to, here's your scoop, we're going to get Jelly Bean Jam reformed for one big Sunday afternoon session. And I'd love to personally invite you two boys.
Oh, thank you.
We'd love to personally accept.
We would. And it's coming a good time because Britt, my wife Britt, and my three children are leaving to Bali on Sunday for 12 days. So, Stu, can they play for 12 nights in a row down there?
Mate, we will sort something out like only we can.
Hey, Stu, it's also coming a good time for me because I, on Monday, as I do most Mondays, declared that I'm off the sauce for the rest of my life. And then come Wednesday, you start to feel a bit better about yourself, don't you, Brian? So by then. Just before we move on to the trek, Stu, this one here. When you interview Stu Laundy about the upcoming trek, ask if he's actually going to turn up for the start of this one. Who could that be from, and what's it referencing?
That was from Emma Lawrence. It has to be.
Right. Yes.
So what happened? I like her brother a lot more. Well, we did one last year, and the first one, the inaugural, and I lasted the whole way. There were a few of us that walked the whole way. I've had a knee reconstruction. I've this morning got a cortisone injection in my left foot. I blew myself up badly on that walk. So they did a second one over summer, which didn't sound great to me, and I was always half-hearted, but it was early January because it coincided with the Glenn McGrath cricket test. And mate, I went up to Newcastle for a bonding session the night before and was a no-show. I can confirm I did not walk 1 kilometre.
So we're blaming Emma Lawrence, are we? Is that who the...
She whinged up a storm. Yeah. God. But in her defence, she finished it, but she wasn't one of the original crew. The original crew, you've got Mark Hughes, obviously, with his great charity that he does, and what a bloke that guy is. And Billy Peden, who's he's rapidly climbed the ranks as one of my best mates, Billy Peden. I love him. Toddy Lowry, who I forgot, he played some bloody good football. A few cricketers, Jay Linton, Dan Hughes, Dan Smith, Ryan Gallagher of reality TV fame. They were all the originals. So that gang's, we've got the band back together, and we're off in about, I think it's next week. As a matter of fact, you guys going to do that 5 kilometres, the first bit?
Yeah, I think we're going down. Like we did last year from the stadium.
Yeah, remember we just walked down there, and then I think we'd get going from there or something. But look, it's on again. But as you guys know, I don't know a better charity, really. I got a rib broken by Sonny Bill. That sucked.
Oh, that's right. That was a beauty.
That was for homeless people. And no offence to the homeless, I think Mark Hughes' charity is it's one of the best I've ever worked with. So I had a lot of fun with those
guys. That's right. I remember you were the undercover boss, weren't you? No, what was that thing when you slept outside?
Yeah, I did Filthy Rich and Homeless.
That's right.
That was the name of the show.
But you said you enjoyed that.
I loved it. Yeah. I met a bloke called Kingy, and sadly he passed away. But I honestly, true story, I would go down every Derby Day, which I do. It's a bit of a religion, Derby Day in Melbourne. And we filmed in winter, and I went down Derby Day, and in that black suit and that, I went and found him under the pylons where I stayed with him. And spent a few days with him, King and I. And then every Derby Day, it was our reunion until, sadly, he passed away. But, mate, I had a great time, and it really was an experience.
Yeah, you're a good man, Stu. Well done for doing all that sort of stuff.
Well, mate, I do a lot of stuff wrong.
Yeah, I know. And I'm invariably next to you, but I mean, it's except at least you're trying to make amends.
It's the Catholic guilt, Brian. It's the Catholic guilt.
It is.
It is Wacky Team Wednesday, so we introduce this man, normally from Bomaderry today via Wagga, the great Hector.
Good afternoon, boys.
Heckers, good afternoon. Now, what are you doing in Wagga?
I'm going camping.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Who with?
Yes, I'm out west in the city so nice they named it twice, Wagga Wagga.
the home of many crows.
Yes.
Yes, Hector, what else is happening?
No, we're just going out to get some Murray crayfish, actually, out on the river. I'm going fishing. I can't wait.
Oh, okay. Right. We'll bring your. Make sure you've got
your. They're supposed to be delicious. I'll bring you one back. I'll drop one off on my way back home.
Perfect.
But they're supposed to be absolutely delicious. They're the most delicious crustacean on the planet, allegedly. Okay. Apparently, they're better than crabs, and I've had those a few times.
Okay. Allegedly.
Who's your nomination?
Anyway, sorry, boys, shall I? I've got three, if that's all right. A couple have already been mentioned. I was a bit slow, but anyway, I like this theme. And there's a bit of a history with rugby league players becoming doctors. Nathan Gibbs, George Paponis, and I believe John Hopalati is still studying his proctology course.
he keeps failing,
that shouldn't be too far off. Absolutely, yeah. Now, I know you've already done Dr. Pimple Popper. Now, if ever there was a doctor with the guts to stomach rugby league, it's Dr. Sandra Lee, the Popper of Pimple. Mm. She has to be our probing number 9. Now, she deals with all manner of foul-smelling rankness. I'm talking boils, pimples, cysts of the sebaceous variety, pus, pustules, warts, corns, moles, and suspect freckles. And she's absolutely surrounded by grubbiness on a day-to-day basis. So that probably qualifies her for the Queensland Origin team, too.
Now, what about
Dr. Hannibal Lecter?
Yes.
Now, I know what you're thinking. He's not a particularly nice gentleman. In fact, he's a cannibal. But there's something I really like about him. And Hannibal Lecter is a real Hector Erector. I'll leave it at that. Now, if we were to play, if we had him in the team, he'd be the biggest fighter in our game since Kevin Proctor. And that's not really tolerated in our game. Just ask Katoni Staggs as well. He didn't even take a bite of that toe. He was just sucking it. Did you see that video?
Anyway, yes, apparently I did. I got that one.
Oh, okay, yeah, sorry. My only concern about the doctor would be that he's never actually played as part of a team because his mother always taught him not to play with his food. I'm just wondering if maybe we could fit him in the centres and he could have a little sniff and nibble on the edges.
It's fine. I'm going to put him in the centres. Yeah. It's an evil-looking three-quarter line. I've got Dr. Hannibal Lecter and Dr. Yeah. Chris Dunched. Dark. You know Dr. Dunched? He was Dr. Death.
I do. Ooh, creepy.
Very creepy.
Now, I've got my final nomination. This one is a little bit off. It was mentioned just before. I'd like to nominate Dr. Seuss. Now, I'm not sure if he's eligible because he actually played quite a bit of rugby league in his early years.
Dr. Seuss.
And I actually found an excerpt from his autobiography. Can I read it?
Yes.
Hold on, let me just find the page. Here's an excerpt about his rugby league career. Oh, here it is. I do not like a cold bench spot. I do not like the hooking slot. Not starting prop, not on the wing, not second row. Now, here's the thing. Halfback, that's for me. First receiver, Seuss, I'll be. I like to grubber, I like to punt. And in defence, I'll fold some. Sorry, I can't make out that last bit. Anyway, boys, have a lovely weekend. I'm going camping. I'm going fishing. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Echoes.
What about the autobiography?
So at number one, we have the Fremantle Doctor, obviously to cope with those wins that can happen in those stadiums. Mm. Penny Wong, now this is legit. This is probably the first time legitimately, and I'll be the first to put my hand up.
Yeah.
She's one of my favourites.
Yes.
So she's going in. Mm. She's got a doctorate of politics.
Okay.
So well done, Penny Wong. The centres, this is, you're not running down either corridor.
Mm.
On the left, centre three quarter, Dr. Hannibal Lecter. On the right, Dr. Christopher Dunch. He's the Dr. Death.
Yes.
Dr. J, of basketball fame, we'll be kicking to him because he's 7'4".
Is he?
Legit. And he can jump 10 foot. The halves, Dr. Pimple Popper and Dr. Phil. I think Dr. Phil can get us around the field and ask a lot of questions to the referee. Number eight, Dr. No. I've had a look at the footage in his highlights package. Holy hell.
Yeah.
What he did to Pussy Galore in that movie. That is unbelievable. At number nine will be Dr. Alessandra from MAFS.
Oh, good.
She's very, very quick out of dummy half. Dr. Evil is the other front rower. So the front row, you don't want to mess with them. Back row, Dr. Drake, Dr. Chris Brown, Dr. Winchester III.
Mm.
The bench, Dr. Pepper, Dr. Richard Kimball, Dr. Edelston, and Dr. Kerry Chant.
Oh, Dr.
So,
Kerry Chant.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is your Brighton's Lawyers Dr. No team.
So Doc Martin was given the boot.
He was.
Yeah.
Dr. Rick Charlesworth, obviously of hockey fame, he's been in. Look, we were going to put Dr. Fred Hollows up to play some eyes up footy, but he didn't actually make it.
Nah.
Dr. Jekyll, I don't know what I was going to get with him. I could put him in. One day he's happy, the next day he's weird.
Yeah.
And Dr. Norman Swan, well, I'm sick of you, son, so you're not coming to the team.
Yes. Welcome back to the Best of the Run Home with Joel and Fletch. And just to get us into the rep mood, we caught up with Millie Boyle, the enforcer for the New South Wales Blues women's origin side, and Justin Hodges. Just to balance it out, we've got a Queenslander. He's got this big fight coming up with Ben Hannett. Spicy, spicy words said. Have a listen. Millie Boyle is on the line. G'day, Millie.
Hello, how are we?
We're going good, mate. Tell us about that particular moment, winning that Dally M medal for yourself, Millie.
Yeah, it was very unexpected. Definitely wasn't expecting it, but it was a very special award, and to share that with Emma was, really special.
For many years, Emma, and I was sharing this story about Ronda Rousey. So Ronda Rousey, Ronda Rousey was sort of the first to arrive and was much heralded. Then all of a sudden, on the back of her influence and this massive pipeline came through the game, and then she was quickly irrelevant. And I'm not suggesting that the original players of the National Rugby League for the women's game are irrelevant, but this pipeline has similarities where it is just my daughter, all her girlfriends, some of them can't get down to Canberra, so they're going out to Leichhardt tonight to watch the under-19 girls play. And the game and the pipeline,
unreal.
It's flying, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it is really good. It's great. I love how the NRL have done it this weekend in particular with Rep Round, and the juniors for the Origin have the Thursday night time slot so everyone can tune in and watch or go down and watch. And then we've got the Friday night and then the international games and then the men's on a Sunday. So, yeah, it's going to be an awesome weekend of footy.
Hey, Millie. Steve O'Keefe here. Last time I spoke to you, it was during the SAS in which I asked you whether...
It just came on TV.
And I'd asked if we were going to get any female representation in the final, but you did win it and you were very coy about it. So congratulations. You made
Thank you very much.
Great poker face. Yes. So it's been a big 6 months for you. You won the Daly M. I loved your interview, by the way, at the end where you looked like you'd had a couple of sherbets. It was
like I said, wasn't expecting it.
Which is great. And look, as you said with the Origin, it's come a long way, female sport. You know, compare it to cricket maybe 5 years ago. Where do you see it headed at the moment? And what do you think's a comfortable stage for the footballer? So the Origin will move to two games next year. Do you think at the moment players are paid enough to make it a career, or do you still think it's in that infancy where players are going to have to balance work-life balances to be able to play professional football?
Yeah, look, it's still I still definitely think it's in between at the moment. It's great that there's another Origin game next year. We'll take two, but we'd love three just to have that decider. But then in terms of the NRLW growing, you know, four teams is a big step, but I think they'll keep with those 10 teams for a little while until it's ready to take that next step. And then once it is, I think that's when we'll see it heading more professional in terms of working and getting paid full time. So, yeah, I still think it'll be juggling it, which, you know, you can ask different people, but I like it. It's good at the moment and you get to do your own thing outside of footy as well, but also enjoy it as well. So, I think they're moving at the right pace.
Great. Justin Hodges is on the line. G'day, Hodjo.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Mate, we're going all right. Now, you are taking on this an omelette very, very shortly called Ben Hannett. How's that all shaping up?
Yeah, no, it's going... You're going to be laughing. No, it's going really good, mate. Preparation's been really good. So now it's just that, you know, the 6 days out now, you're just trying to fine-tune everything and just get in there and, you know, punch the crap out of the big omelette.
Are you going to put him to sleep?
Well, that's the plan. That's what I want to try and do. Like, I always hear the boxers say, you know, you don't get paid for overtime. So, you know, we're both heavyweights. So, you know, when you're a heavyweight, you come with a bit of power as well. So hopefully I can put him away early, mate. Turn the omelette into scrambled eggs.
Well, I'll tell you this now, just on this egg analogy. So the great Alan Jones, he used to tell the story about the ham and the egg. He said, boys, you're the ham or the egg. You know, if you're the egg, you're involved, right? But if you're the ham, you're committed. So you must be the ham, eh? And he's the omelette. Is that, where did we get the omelette from?
Oh, no, that's just the name we used to call him at footy. That was his nickname around the joint. That's, right. Because obviously he didn't drink, but he loved his food. He loved his omelette. So, and he obviously didn't look. He did have a six pack. So, yeah. We just call him the big cheesy omelette. So that's how the name came about.
So, is there a chance the winner takes on Gowell? Is that sort of which way it's looking?
Yeah, look, I think so. I had a phone call with Gowell the other night. So we had a bit of a bet that if Queensland win the series, we'll fight here in Brisbane. If New South Wales win, then we'll fight in Sydney. So, so hopefully I'll get through this big fella on next Wednesday. Then, set up my last fight, mate, my last thing as official. I'm giving everything up. I'm getting too old.
I love how you're already looking at Gal and talking about the fight with Gal and brushing the omelette. Anyway, what have you made of the Broncos so far this season?
Mate, look, they've been good. They've been outstanding. I think this is what everyone's been waiting for. You know, the Broncos are bold to get back. They're just really competing and playing for each other, and which is awesome to see. You know, guys like Payne's have been outstanding, but you know, guys like Katoni and Herbie and all these guys now are starting to play over that 80 to 100 mark game, so their body's getting conditioned into that week-to-week stuff, and now they're starting to produce. And, you know, you throw in the likes of Adam Reynolds, who's just been outstanding for us, exactly what we needed. So, yeah, we're hoping the boys can keep it up now.
Adam Reynolds, what sort of... You know, he hasn't played all the games, but a key signing for the Broncos. What have you made of his recruitment?
Mate, it's been first class. I think, you know, when he's been out there, he just steadied the ship and really, you know, brought his kicking game, which we haven't had for a long period of time. But he just brings a lot of confidence. He just makes sure that everyone's accountable for what they do. Obviously, he's come from a well-constructed side there at South Sydney, and been well coached by Wayne as well. So he just brought that attention to detail type of stuff, you know, just getting through the sets, kicking the corners and waiting for the opposition to make mistakes. And it's a simple game, and that's what Reno's been able to do, is just making sure he brings that professionalism, and then everyone else is thriving off the back of that.
Mate, we've got Origin coming up in a couple of days. Queensland obviously blew the Blues off the park a couple of weeks ago. How do you see that one panning out? And do you agree with the rhetoric that the Blues just don't get it and Queensland just get Origin better than the Blues? Is that how you see it as well?
Oh, look, that's how we've been taught, mate. You know, coming through the ranks is that, yeah, everything that we do for each other, we do for our state. And that's what Queensland's venture has been based upon, you know. We try and recognise our past. We obviously pay our respects to the past players, and we try and make sure that we uphold those traditions and make sure we don't let each other down. And that's what Origin football means to us, and we don't want to let each other down, you know. And you can see that the way they played, you know, that first game.
Your debut, right, and mixed night for you. And we know the story there. We're not going to have to bog down on that. But the story about TBA being selected in the team, do you remember that vividly?
Yes, I do.
So what happened there with TBA? Yeah, we got you, mate.
TBA, to be announced. I think that was Lottie Dakiri, wasn't it?
That's right. So what Queensland had done, he was about to cop a week suspension.
Right.
So what they did was to not announce him. They named him in the side for the Broncos, right? Mm. So therefore, he would be suspended for that match. And then until that match was served, TBA, he came into the side. They asked Gene Miles, didn't they, Hodger? They said, who's going to be your goal kicker? He said, yeah, TBA will be the goal kicker, backed up by Darren Lockyer. Well, TBA came out and scored a hat-trick. A hat-trick performance,
TBA,
didn't he?
TBA was a man.
He was a man.
He did.
TBA.
That's what we always told him. You might as well keep that name from now on.
Exactly right. Hey, Hodge, I've got to admire you doing this, mate, because every time I was watching a mate doing a bit of fighting and he'd get into the ring, I'd get so nervous for him. There's nowhere to hide. In rugby league, you've got 12 teammates around you, but boxing, it's you versus the other man, or food being an omelette. But, mate, it's massive. It really is. Congratulations on what you're doing, and all the best with the big fight against Benny Hannett.
No worries, boys. I appreciate it very much. Thank you, boys.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Run Home with Joel and Fletch. Don't forget you can catch us weekly, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. on the wireless, however you listen to SEN. But also, too, Brian, you can get us any old time you like through social media at Joel Fletch SEN. What platforms are we on at the moment?
We're on TikTok, we're on Instagram, and we're on Twitter. Mm. And I'm really trying to push the IG, the Instagram, and the TikTok.
Yes, okay.
Because we got a good sort of broad over coverage over Twitter.
Yep.
Got to get the talk of the tick.
And the
gram of the in.
Yes, that's right. Okay, we'll catch you next time.